Lord truly has been good to us this weekend, as he has all of our lives. When we think about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, what he has shown to each of us. So much of it we really gloss over in our lives, take it for granted. Every single day, he has compassed our path. He has been there, even before we had any knowledge or understanding that he was there, has been there. Our lack of knowing it doesn't make it not so. It just doesn't allow us to appreciate it like we ought to. The Lord is the creator who made the heavens and the earth, mighty God. That's what I've loved about the preaching this weekend. The God that's been preached here is not a weak God, not a little God, not a wannabe God, not God if you let him be God, but is the God that created the heavens and the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? He's the God who made us, and the God who allowed us by his grace to know that he is God. Otherwise, we'd be completely and totally ignorant of that. Felt like Brother Forrest's preaching was so rich. I know that doesn't come from Brother Forrest or any other man. It comes from the Lord. To think about being reconciled to God. God didn't need reconciliation from. He didn't need to change. God doesn't change. God would not change. But we needed it, didn't we? And needed. And it is he who hath reconciled us, which, thanks be to God, I feel today to be a part of that, part of those to whom he loved and those whom he calls. That's a big question for us sometimes when I read the scripture. When you read the scripture is clear that the Lord has a people. It's mentioned Old Testament, New Testament, again and again, how there is a people that are the people of God, that belong to him. And they belong to him. He bought and paid for them. He knew them. He chose them. He made choice of them. And he did that according to his own pleasure. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. It wasn't based on anything that we would do or could do. And had it been based on that, he wouldn't have chosen any of us, because we all were sinners. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, even came forth from the womb speaking lies, which really means as soon as we were capable of carrying out the act of sin, because of a nature that was in us that was depraved and sinful, we walked in that sin. And that sin that we were born in, as well as that which we've committed, that sin separated us from God in a place not of maybe you can get out of it if you'll do this, do that, or some other thing, but a place where there was absolutely no hope of ever being able to have fellowship with the Lord. No fellowship here, and no fellowship when we would die. Not only that, we didn't care about it. Didn't know about it, didn't care about it. We were in a state of death, a spiritual death. Dead to the things of God, dead to the love of God, dead to the need of God, just running in this world, wanting to get everything life would offer us in a natural way, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Who wrote that? That was the Apostle Paul. as he wrote by inspiration of God, he was saying that we were, not just you were. You know, a lot of times when I'm preaching, we get to you. It's not just you. It's all of us, each and every one. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And where were we? Even when we were dead in sins, that's where we were. That's where we were, that's where we would be, that's where we would stay. And the good preaching that we've heard this weekend and even this morning would have never touched us or meant anything to us, wouldn't be concerned about us. You wouldn't even want to be here. You'd rather be somewhere else. This atmosphere would make you very uncomfortable. This isn't my thing. This isn't what I do. I don't want any part of it. In other words, if you're going to keep me here, you're going to have to tie me down or just make it so I don't have a way to get out of here. Because I'm not neutral about the things of God by nature. The carnal mind is not neutral about the things of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject. Means it doesn't have the ability to change. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. It can't. I can't change you. I can't do that. No more than I can go speak to the dead and say, live. But you know, when the Lord spoke to Lazarus, he didn't have any trouble saying, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead came forth when he stood before Jairus' daughter. He didn't have any problem bringing that child. When the Lord speaks life, and the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. When the Lord saw fit to quicken you, and I don't know when it happened. But I know today if you love him, just as Brother Forrest has laid it out so clearly, if you love him today, it's because he first loved you. You didn't. You might have felt like, okay. I need to get it right. I need to get straight. I need to get everything fixed up. And the more you try to wash that window with your dirty water, the more the window gets filthy. And the more unclean you feel. And the farther from God you feel. I'm telling you, there's a rock though that we can lean upon, and there's a one that we can trust in, there's one that we can depend upon, who loved us already and has already taken care of the matter, who loved us so much, the Father loved us so much that he gave us to the Son, and the Son loved us so much that he willingly said, Father, I'll go. They looked and there was none that could help. There was none that could stand between us and God. There was no mediator. There was none to be found, and yet there was one. There was one, and that was the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I'll come, and willingly walked here in this world, and he did it for you. Who's the you? Every one of his children that he loved even before the foundation of the world, that were chosen in him. And it wasn't just a few that over here and a few over there. He knew who they were, and he came for them specifically and in particular. And he loved them so much that he suffered that the sins that belong to me, that I have committed, that I've done in the past, and that I'm doing today, and that I'll do the rest of my life, were taken off of me, and they were placed upon him. And there at Calvary, he suffered my hell and my agony and my pain that would have been due me. And the Bible says he removed them from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. I've probably shared this with you, but it comes to mind right now. Daddy said he was preaching a funeral one time. And he had laid out a little bit about the life of the person who passed and pointed out some of that fruit that we see in the lives of God's children. What kind of fruit are you talking about? The Bible says that the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And he says, and against such there is no law. And he was pointing out some of those evidences, some of those incidences, some of those times when he'd come across somebody and he'd seen some evidences of the fruit. How much fruit do you need to see? How much fruit? He had finished the funeral, and at the end of the funeral, somebody came to him and he said, I knew that man. I knew a lot of things that he did that you didn't say anything about. I knew a whole lot of things about him that you just kind of ignored. Almost like you said you saw these good things. Well, I saw a whole lot of things that wasn't good. I thought, how many people will say that about me? How many people might say that about you? The fact of the matter, those who know us the most and the best know along with those good things come a whole lot of other things. The response Daddy gave him was just something that meant a lot to me, and I think about it often. He says, well, the Lord says that he removed our sins from us as far as the east from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. And I figure if the Lord's forgot them, I should have forgot them too. In the case of that brother, in other words, why would I bring up that which the Lord's forgotten at a man's funeral? The fact of the matter, it wasn't about what the man got right that got him to heaven or got any hope for him to be in heaven. It's about what the one who did everything perfectly in his life did for him, in that Jesus came and died on the cross and paid the sin debt and paid it in full. And I'm telling you, that's my hope today. That's my trust. That's my dependence. It's in what the Lord had done for me. May the Lord help us, each and every one, be reconciled unto God, because he had, Brother Forrest, reconciled us unto himself. That's done. That's a finished work. You rest in it. You rest in it. I just want to read a text, and Brother John, you get ready, because I'm about done. I'm just thankful that I've had this much. I just want you to know I love the Lord. And I thank the Lord for the blessings that I've had among his people and his church. I thank the Lord for the friends and the blessings that I've had among God's people. And that I can feel the presence of the Lord this morning. And I can feel the movement of the Spirit of God in this place. And it gives me a little hope and a trust in my heart. And that hope, listen, we talk about a hope, and sometimes people belittle hope. If we have hope, the Bible says how it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And just to be able to feel to be one of his little children that he would love so much to send his son to die for, what a blessing that is. So I'm just going to read this text. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And I've got a lot more that I thought I was going to read, but I'm going to stop right there. He said to study. We have a book before us. Thank the Lord for his word. That every one of God's little children, yes, the ministry should study, but it's not just the ministry that should study. Each and every one of us need to be students of the word of God. The things that we learn as the Lord opens up our eyes and our hearts and our understanding, as we read the word of God, as we pray that God would enlighten us and direct us. He's left his word here in this world to let us know about the living word. The written word is not that which gives us life or brings the dead to life. There's a work that has to take place first in order for this word, this written word, to mean anything to you. And that is, you have to hear the voice of the living word in the new birth and have to be made a new creature, as we've heard already. But if the Lord has made you a new creature, and if you have any of the fruit of the Spirit, if there's an evidence, and by the way, it didn't say you had to have all of the fruit all of the time. If there's any evidence of any fruit, if there's any love, if there's any joy, if there's any peace, if there's any of those fruit, just one of those fruits, the only way that any of that fruit is possible is if you've heard the voice of the Son of God and you've been made alive. And therefore, you should rest in that. But it didn't say, then therefore, if I'm just his, then it doesn't matter how I live. You see, this isn't a doctrine that is unto ungodliness, but it's a doctrine that's unto godliness, which means this is really the only way in walking in this truth and understanding salvation is by grace, is the only way that we can ever get our works towards God in the right place in this world. Because if we're trying to work enough to get accepted in the sight of God, we're really denying the most important principles and the most important things that are taught in the Word of God, and seeking to bring some glory to ourselves that really only belong to Him. And many times God's little children don't realize that's what we're doing, but the Word of God will enlighten us into that. Listen, even old Baptists that understand about salvation by grace can sometimes get the idea that God owes me something because I got to church on Sunday morning, or God owes me something because I'm opening up my Bible and reading it, or that God owes me something because I'm praying. There are blessings in all of those things, but I'll tell you, we never bring God under obligation unto us. There's never a place, even in our best day, that we ever say, Lord, I'm deserving of something now because I've done this or that. It's always by His grace. We believe in salvation by grace. Grace and grace alone. He says, study. So we're to search the Scriptures, and we're to show ourselves approved, not to one another, not to impress anybody else, but approved unto God, and that we are workmen. Sometimes we don't understand that living in this world is work. Sometimes we feel like it's work, but it's work. You and I, as long as we're in this world, we're going to be workmen. We're going to need to be working. There's a fight that we need to fight every day. There's a battle that we need to battle every day. It isn't about how we're going to be keeping on and staying on so that we'll be accepted with God and make ourselves acceptable with God. Yes, there's a timely acceptance that we want every day, and that we're walking in the will and the way that the Lord will lead us and direct us. But our acceptance with God is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to have the strength to walk today and to live today and to do what God would have me to do, I've got to go to that same source in order to be enabled to do it. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means as we read this Bible, we need to pray, God, let me see this, understand it. What we saw a minute ago, as Brother Forrest and the other brethren stood before us, we see them standing before us, and they're laying the scripture out. And isn't it wonderful to be able to come to a meeting and then things that you've been reading or things that you've been studying or things that you've been wondering about, it just as if the Lord knows. Well, we know the Lord knows. It's like the minister knows. The reason the minister knows is because the Lord knows, and he moves him in just the right way to present that, and it's rightly dividing the word of truth. It's cutting it up in its right places and putting it in its right application so that we don't distort what's laid down in the word of God and come away with a confused picture. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And the way I identified that which is the word of truth and that which is profane and vain babblings is when we have a thus saith the Lord for it, and the Bible teaches it, we know we're on the solid ground of the word of truth. And when you get away from this Bible and you get into ideas and thoughts that the Bible doesn't teach or the Bible doesn't support, then you're into vain babblings and you're into profane babblings. And what happens is when we bring that into the spiritual fellowship and we try to present that, then it's like pouring ice water on a good meeting. It's just like it gets really, really cold real, real quick, and it doesn't take long to feel it. And I'm telling you, it can happen right in the middle of a sermon. It can happen right as we're making an effort to stand before the Lord's people. It can go, it's a battle. We're fighting that battle all the time. And he says, but shun those. And he says, and their word will eat as doth a canker. That word literally means gangrene. In other words, if we allow a little bit of that there, if we just it's important that our doctrine, some people said doctrine isn't important. Doctrine is very important. And if we don't have that proper doctrine, then we don't understand how it is we even live in this world in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. He says, and their word will eat as a canker. And he says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? He even names a couple that had slid away from the doctrine and maybe just add a little bit. You know, it just add a little bit to it here or say it a little bit that way. That's why it's so important that we are listening to the things that we're being taught to be sure they're of the Lord and they are so. And we study the scripture and try them by the word of God.
Yeah.
He says, and here's what they said, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. Now, because they said it, did that make it so?
No.
Did that change the truth? No. That just caused God's little children to suffer. As they heard that and embraced that and ate that, it made them sick. And it doesn't change the truth of salvation in any way whatsoever. But it did overthrow the faith of some, which can tell us that just because we have an understanding of it today doesn't mean we can take it for granted that I'm going to continue to do that. We have to be careful as we study the Word of God and as we search and as we hear preaching that we stay firm to the things that have surely been believed among us that are laid down in God's word. Then I'll just close with this. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That means what God has done is done, and he's finished that work, and the Lord knows. Who are his? He knows who he loved even before the foundation of the world. There's nothing that can separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he says then to show us it's not a doctrine of licentiousness or anything goes. He says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. May the Lord help us to live like his little children and act and behave like his little children. And Brother John, come on. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.